the right move?
The Property Podcast with
Andrew Simmons and JP.
If you are in property, it's one of those jobs, those lifestyles, if you like, where you're going to be putting in the hours. Simo, you certainly exemplify that. You even had to take during the school holidays your daughter to work. Hopefully we'll come to that, because I think it's a lovely, lovely story. But you've managed to get away. I'm absolutely flabbergasted.
The estate agent that never sleeps is what one of my clients... So in fact, you know what? It's funny because Alex, who's an area manager for a larger estate agency business, she did actually refer to me in a LinkedIn post as the estate agent that never sleeps. We ought to get Alex on really at some point. We recently did a deal to help her move house, and that's right. But yes, you are right there, JP. I have managed to get away for, dare I say it, 4 days holiday, annual leave. Yes,
yes,
bring it on, those 4 days. And it's 4 days in the trusty grockle box. And we are, so apologies, listeners, for the perhaps slightly different audio than my studio. But I'm sat on a Devon hillside as we record this in a grockle box. There we go.
Nice, you've still got all the home comforts. Why not? I dare say a glass of something fizzy is fairly close by at hand. Do you know what? The most important thing of all, have you followed your own advice from a previous episode and taken the correct kind of toothpaste in the grockle box?
Always. The toothpaste is just critical these days. You know, you have to have gel toothpaste.
Yeah.
Simo consumer champion, it freezes. But not at the moment. The weather's still... You know, we are mid-September, but, you know, the weather's still good. The weather's still good. Bit fresh at each end of the day, but...
Somebody I know that you've had and got professional links to, Christopher Watkin. Just give us a sort of headline about Christopher.
Yeah, so Chris, I've known Christopher for many years. And, you know, when I got into... When I acquired... my businesses recently, I turned to Chris for some, you know, good trusty advice and support. And, you know, I'm really grateful for everything that he's done, and, you know, some of the pearls of wisdom that I get from Chris. So, you know, I treat Chris as a bit of a mentor, really. And yeah, great. We'll be chatting to Chris in a minute, won't we, with, you know, get his take on a few things.
Yeah, there are, I suppose, simplifying, two main strands of expertise to what Christopher does. He can help letting agencies and estate agencies, and as such has obviously got this incredible insight and foresight into those businesses, that sector. We obviously on the podcast are very keen to get across to the man and the woman in the street what it is to deal with an estate agent, you know, when you're at that point of selling or buying a house. And he's got some great wisdom, hasn't he?
Always with Chris as well. You know, very pleased that he's taken some time out to come and have a chat. So, yeah, delighted.
All right, Christopher Watkin on very soon then. And also another notable who was in one of our very earliest episodes, the private pilot himself, the jet setter, man with a mission and so many principles. We're going to have a very quick snapshot from Charlie Lambton about the stamp duty cut, which certainly is time of recording, is about to happen.
We're hearing murmurings of this happening, you know, in the market. And it's good that we are, you know, we'll talk about that as well after we've chatted to Charlie, sort of, I suppose, get my opinion following Charlie's, yeah.
Selling, buying, investing. Are you making the right move?
Now, call me an old cynic, but I don't think there are many occasions when you are scrolling and scrolling and scrolling through LinkedIn in particular that... you see something that's a real moment, and similar for me and for many others, you created one, or at least your daughter Harriet. Let's give her the credit where it's deserved. She gave people the moment because, if I understand this right, over the summer holidays there were occasions, like many many parents, myself included, where you had to involve her in one or two, maybe more, official bits of business, you know, some viewing, some appointments through work. Now, she helped, didn't she, in a very quantifiable, really sort of grown-up way?
Yeah, you know, it's great. It's actually been really interesting having the two kids with us over the summer holidays because, you know, as both parents working in a family business and, you know, a growing and rather busy family business, as you're aware, you know, we couldn't justify childcare 24/7 and we couldn't justify, you know, everything that goes with that. So they had to come with us, you know, they had to come and spend days with us. And, you know, Harriet really, she's eight, you know, she's eight, she's just turned nine. And she's just been ultra wanting to go out and help on viewings. Now, there is a element of, you know, she wants paying though, JB. You know, she's the entrepreneur in her,
yeah.
Says, if I sell a house, Daddy, I want some commission. And, you know, I took her out one day and she absolutely smashed it. And, we sold two houses on that day. I mean, you know, as I've said, you know, we've been so busy, yeah. Through. Okay, she didn't negotiate the sales, obviously, but she played a massive part in it. And it was interesting because we were out with families who were coming on viewings and, you know, they too were centered the summer holidays. So, you know, parents bringing kids along. And what was so good is that Harriet took the children off and was able to entertain them whilst, you know, respectfully allowing parents to see the property.
Yeah.
And, you know, she did that rather kind of without prompt. You know, she did take herself off and it really made a difference. And, you know, so she was key to two sales. And, you know, I'll honour my word, you know, she's due some commission and, you know, that's what will happen. However, she got later on in the day, you know, she was getting a bit tired and a bit bored as children do, but she stuck with it. But we're in the office just wrapping a few things up before going out on a few more viewings. And she wrote this note, but I didn't know she'd written this note until I emptied her bag when she'd gone to bed that night. And she'd actually put a note in the, which she wanted to introduce the property to, you know, she'd almost written her own script and she wanted to introduce the property and then hand them over to me to carry out the viewing.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, really. You know, this was all without prompt. And she'd obviously watched me over the day and with my spiel. And yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, I like the fact that, you know, she's not saying, I want to be an estate agent and sell houses when I'm older. But, you know, I think she will see what we do.
Yeah.
And I hope with whatever she does, she'll take into account the future that, you know, work hard and, you know, get rewarded for it. And, you know, I definitely see that entrepreneurism in her.
I'm not surprised. It's crazy when they're so particularly at that kind of age, so attuned to those sorts of things, you know, to really grab an interest, the spark. And they throw themselves into it. And I just remember really being struck on that LinkedIn post of yours, how the screenshot or the photo you'd taken of her note, and it said something like, you know, in Harriet's handwriting, remember to say, and the crucial kind of closing lines at that point, or handing, no, it's handing over to you, as you say. And I thought it was just brilliant. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Really good.
Yeah, touching as well.
When
I pulled that out of her bag, it was just like, oh my goodness me.
Yeah, the fact that she...
But there we are, yeah.
The fact she knew it was really important. Excellent. Okay, it is The Right Move, the property podcast on all the major podcast apps and sites.
For me, the idea of conforming sounds very unexciting.
People are really beginning to understand how beautiful this county is.
I'm going to be really controversial, JP. I have to agree with her.
You're with The Right Move.
I think it's fair to say, Simo, that, you know, one of our, well, really, your key aims all along for this podcast was to get really invaluable, useful and regular information across to those who are looking to sell a house, looking to buy a house, just in that property market, so they get, you know, good, solid, wherever possible, impartial advice, and that it's really effective advice. And the guy we're about to speak to in a second, he can only add to that.
Oh yeah, definitely. In spades, you're absolutely right. This podcast isn't about me and my businesses. You know, we hardly ever mention those. But what we do need to do is make sure people get the right advice out there, because there are far too many estate agents who treat clients as numbers and not as people. You know, I've been having it recently where I've had people who have come to me to buy properties, and you know, and I've taught them through and I've helped them. And actually at the start, they've actually said to me, you know, at the start we came to you cynical, and we've come to really value your advice and your opinions. I mean, in fact, I've dealt with somebody only in the last few days where they lost their buyer on a property, and you know, they needed some support from me. I'm not earning anything from that. I'm just making sure that they actually get it sorted. And you're absolutely right, that's exactly the focus of this podcast. And it will continue to be. Feel free to contact us and ask us. You know, we will help and advise and give you our guidance wherever possible. Chris is a gem in the whole industry, basically.
Christopher, warmest of welcomes to the podcast to you. This is an interesting reversal of fortunes, I feel, because usually you're the one sat there hosting and asking the questions as opposed to answering them.
Indeed. I run a YouTube channel, and we've done over 2,000 interviews of estate agents, letting agents, surveyors and other awesome people.
Fantastic. Now, you've demonstrably got a really good and clear view of letting agencies and estate agencies because you help them to grow. So let's give a broad overview, and humour me if you will, Christopher. What makes, in your view, let's just take estate agency, what makes a good or great estate agency?
The estate agent is there to help the homeowner sell their property, hopefully for the best price, with the least amount of hassle. So it's the estate agent that does that. Gets the best price in the least amount of hassle for the homeowner. Now, there's obviously a duty of care to the buyer, but what buyers have to remember is this: the estate agent doesn't work for you, works for the homeowner.
So, Chris, you know, what are the shortcomings in the way that the public engage with estate agents? You know, do we carry too much baggage and have a narrow-minded view?
The one I would say is this: is, let's just say for argument's sake, no one walks around in their head saying, if I wanted to sell my house tomorrow, I'm just going to call these three estate agents. Because let's be honest, most average sized towns of a population of 30,000 to 40,000 people will probably have in the order of 10 to 12 estate agents. And as soon as you go up to a city the size of Bristol, there'll be 80, 100 estate agents. So the question is which estate agents do you call out for your valuation? Now, interestingly, the average number of estate agents that a homeowner will ask out is somewhere in the order of between late twos, early three people in terms of estate agents. But if you've got 10 estate agents to go at, or if you're in Bristol, 100 estate agents, which estate agent are you going to go with? Now, quite often, the potential seller, what is the catalyst for them to move is seeing another property that's on the market that is the catalyst. So, we love that house, we could love to move. So quite often they will ask the estate agent who's selling that house for a valuation. And then they'll probably ask a couple of other estate agents out, to get an idea. Now, one pitfall which some homeowners can fall into is, if I put my house on the market with the estate agent who is the one I want to buy from, then they're going to get two fees. And if that works perfectly, then that's great. The problem is what if the agent sells that other house that you want, because it's probably the one that everyone wants, and now all of a sudden, what's the advantage of being on the market with that particular estate agent? Because not all estate agents are the same.
you know, how do you judge an estate agent? And, you know, if you actually look at, if you actually look at all the reports, the bits at the top of what, you know, there's something called the home buying and selling survey, which interviews over 20,000 homeowners each year. And the ones that the bit that came out was, is it was the estate agent I instinctively trusted, who sold houses like my own, who I felt had good local property knowledge, who basically I thought could do a good job. So the first trap is, you know, if you see a property on the market with another agent and you think that you should put your house on the market with that agent, but that agent might be mediocre, well, what happens if that one sells? So my advice, first advice, is go with the best estate agent. Now, what do you classify as the best estate agent? Well, if you ask 10 estate agents out to come round your property and ask them to sit down and tell them what they do, probably 90% of them will all sound the same. We'll put a for sale board outside your house. They'll sound like robots. They'll put a for sale board outside your house. They'll take nice photographs. They'll do a floor plan and they'll whack it on Rightmove. You see, in a good market, any estate agent can sell any old house. You just whack it on Rightmove with a couple of photographs, and as long as the price is about right, it'll sell. So therefore, in the absence of proving value, some home, you know, and it's like anything in this world, in the absence of proving value, the only thing you can judge someone on is their price. So interestingly, the average fee that homeowners pay for their property, for their estate agency services over the last 15 years has dropped from an average of 1.6% of the sale price down to 1%. And again, that's an average. There are plenty of estate agents out there, even in this world, who are charging 2%. The whole thing is this, is that estate agents need to prove that they're worth that. And if your estate agent who comes around cannot prove why they're at 1.5%, as opposed to their competitors at 1%, then you have to go with the 1% agent. So it's incumbent on estate agents to prove their worth. Now, how do you prove your worth? You see, estate agents are not very good at proving how good they are. You see, in the last couple of years, selling a house has been relatively easy. The point is, you know, any man and his dog can sell a house. It's, you know, probably 90% of them might be able to get £300,000, but the top 10% of estate agents might be able to get £320,000 for the same house. So it's incumbent on estate agents to prove that you're worth the extra. And it's also a responsibility of homeowners just to question their estate agent and find out why they're worth what they're worth. And then only then can they make a decision of why they should choose one agent over another.
I'm extremely glad, Christopher, that you have raised the notion of who is, let's just say, crudely speaking, the best agent for the job, or the most effective might be a better term. What's your view? You know, what's your critique of the businesses that are now coming online? There's one in particular whose name escapes me. They've got quite a big TV campaign at the moment, whose sole job is to tell you who in your area is, inverted commas, the best agent, you know, the most effective or successful agency. Is it too crude a metric? What do you feel about that?
Well, again, there's two ways you can judge. There is this fact and there's solid hard percentages, and that particular agency, I think it's called, the service is called Get Agent, and they will show you what percentage of the asking price that the estate agent has achieved. So they'll look at what the house came on the market for, and then what they will then do is, when it completes and it goes onto the land registry, which means that it becomes public data of what the property sold for, they'll compare the two and work out the percentage. But again, that can be gamed. The estate agents can change the price just before the property goes sold to the contract to make them figures look better. That's one way of judging it. But again, it's like reviews. Reviews can be gamed and changed. My advice to anyone looking at an estate agent is ask them, what sort of houses have you sold? You know, give me your last 10 houses. Show it, and this is where it's really important. If you own a four-bedroom detached house, ask to look at the last 10 sales, but don't just ask for four-bedroom detached houses, because a state agent selling a two-bedroom terraced house will have the same negotiating skills on a two-bedroom terrace than they will for a three-bedroom or four-bedroom detached house. So ask them, show me your last 10 sales, show me your asking prices, and show me what you achieved for them.
Well, I assume, Chris, when you go to move, agents start quaking in their boots, don't they?
Well, we haven't moved in 25 years, so I can't really comment on that on that one. The magic thing is this, okay? A lot of estate agents are not very good at proving their worth or showing why they're different or why they should pay more for that agent. So I believe estate agents have a responsibility to themselves to up their game to prove that they are the better estate agent. So, you know, an estate agent might open, you know, we're open 8 days a week as opposed to everyone else that's open 6 days a week, or we open 369 days a year. Mm. It's really important for estate agents to say, and this is what it means to you as a homeowner. So when an estate agent is on your sofa and they say, you know, we go on this portal and this portal, like a portal is a Rightmove or Zoopla, ask them, well, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? More eyeballs, you know. You know, the different portals have different things. You know, there's one very large portal who will get tens of thousands of views on your property. But when you actually compare the views on that particular portal versus the number of people that will view it, the percentage is quite low compared to other portals where the view numbers are lower, but the quality is much higher. You know, we're recording this in the early autumn of 2022. The market, any man and his dog has been able to sell a house. Mm. Where estate agents, you know, if we go into a market which does toughen up, estate agents are going to have to actually earn their money. But it's also a responsibility of homeowners to actually get them to prove they're worth their money by asking them, right, what are the last 10 houses you've sold? How long does it take you to from agreeing a sale to exchanging and completing contracts? And exchanging and completing contracts is when the monies and the keys get handed over. You see, this is absolutely fascinating, okay? I'm only going on numbers here, okay? But in central London, there is a number of absolutely massive, well-known London estate agents. One very famous one, for every 100 houses that they put onto the market, they will only ever complete on 27.2% of them. But the other one, which is their big rival, for every 100 houses that they put on the market, they will actually exchange and complete on just over 60% of them. So it's the job of the estate agent to prove that if you come with me, you're more likely to sell and get a better price. And it's the job of the homeowner to question the estate agents.
Yeah, I mean, there are some fascinating, very jaw-dropping stats there, and it's very telling.
These are big firms that anyone in the UK would know.
Yeah, yeah. There's certainly a chasm between the two they just quoted, Christopher. Yeah. I mean, you obviously there's an allusion there to the market where we are now. So the buoyancy or not of the market, property prices, where do you think we're heading?
The average number of properties that have been selling each week in the UK has ranged between 25 and 27,000 properties per week since January 22. We are doing this in mid-September. Everyone's running around like a headless chicken saying they're at the end of the world of the market. In the last week, 25,500 properties sold. The week before, 21. So that I thought, oh, we've got a dip, hello. But the week before, 25. The week before, 25. The week before, 25. We are, you know, the headlines, sentiment is driving people's decisions when in fact the facts are completely different. That's one thing that you must remember as a homeowner. Don't make your decision on headlines. Look at the actual facts and then talk to an estate agent. But okay, your original question was house prices. Now, I find it fascinating that the British are obsessed with property prices, when in reality, when property prices increase, it helps nobody.
Yeah, of course.
Apart from probate sales, okay? And a probate sale is when someone passes away, okay? So let's just say, for argument's sake, you had a property that was worth £200,000. Okay, here we go. This is fascinating about the British. Are you ready? Okay, so 10 years ago, say, I bought my house for £200,000. So you might want to write this down. 200 grand, okay? And let's just say today it's now worth £400,000, right?
Yep.
But let's just say, for argument's sake, the property market dipped and dropped from 400 to 350. So it's gone from 200 grand 10 years ago to 400 today, and then she drops down to 350, say, in the summer of 23. Mm. So we're now in the summer of 23. Question, how much money have I made?
Well, you'd be inclined to say 150.
You would be inclined to say 150 because it was, you bought it for 200 and now it's worth 350, okay? But there's something really strange in the psyche of the British. Mm. They haven't made £150,000. They've lost £50,000.
Yes, yes.
Even though they never bought it at 400. Because what happens is that we as homeowners, we bought it for 200, but as we see for sale boards in our street and they're going up and all Jim and Bob are on the market, their house is worth more. What happens is our assets in our head improve up to 400 grand. So when she drops from 400 to 350, we've lost 50. We never had the 50, but in our mind we did.
Yes.
That's how we think.
Yeah.
That's why everyone goes on Rightmove to see what a property comes on the market for on their street.
Yes.
Because they're nosy at the pictures, but they're really looking at the price.
I mean, this is probably fanciful rhetoric, I don't know, but do you ever see that psyche, that mindset changing, Christopher? Do you think we'll ever get away from the idea of, oh, you know, we must have a look and it's made this much, when in fact, as you've just illustrated, it hasn't really.
No, I mean, I went on holiday to the Orkney Islands 5 or 6 years ago, and the sand had come away from these caves, and on the fireplace above there was a mantelpiece, and the people said that's where they put all their posh trinkets. Okay, we as human beings are only interested in ourselves and what we have.
Yes.
Let's say that in a nasty way.
Yeah.
And the British, you know, we're building up our nest egg, our what we are worth, because we judge each other, we judge ourselves on our money, which is an awful thing to say, but that's what humans do.
Yeah, no, you're
and
right.
Will that change? No, I don't think it will.
Yeah. I don't have to smile because with new housing, developers are saying that a price drop is the last resort, as you'd probably expect. But they might consider offering new carpets in a challenging market. So
yes.
Their generosity knows no bounds, Christopher.
Now, interesting when it comes to new homes is this, because I'm a bit of a property statistician. Just like you can, when you buy a new car, it's brand new, and as soon as you put the key in, it drops in value. You know, if you went to sell a brand new car within a day, you wouldn't get the money back, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's the same with new homes. It's actually, anyone can Google this. It's called new build premium. Now, interestingly, the government do some fantastic stats and look at what the average price for a property is as a new build and what the average price for a second-hand property is. And interestingly, on average, it's around 10%. So you pay 10% more for a brand new home as opposed to a secondhand one. But in a recession, that turns itself around. So the time to buy brand new homes is in a recession, because the builder has to sell, homeowners don't have to sell.
Mm. Let's end on what you think is a kind of golden rule of how the vendor should be when engaging an estate agent. What do you think, if there's one thing you would ask how somebody could be, I don't know, a change in their approach or behaviour for the member of public, what would you recommend in their mindset?
Don't just ring up the three estate agents that come into your head because you've seen a few for sale board. Go on to Rightmove and see how many houses they've got, how many they have sold. You can, you know, ask better questions. Take a responsibility. Judge an estate agent, not just because you like them, but actually on the results.
Thanks, Chris. It's been absolutely great having you with us today on the podcast.
Well, from one guest to another, Simo, you might be there in your grockle box on the move down there in Devon. Well, I say on the move. probably pretty sedentary at the moment with, I dare say, feet up in the air and a glass of
a little bit. It's a little bit more relaxed. Yeah,
yeah. A schooner of something sweet down there. But I just want to come to this and bring on our second final contributor, who's the always excellent and always charismatic Charlie Lambdin. Obviously, we're standing on the threshold of this potential stamp duty cut. A mixed reception, I guess, in the media and the public about, you know, how it will play out. I've got one national newspaper website here saying stamp duty will benefit UK's wealthier and raise inflation, say experts. You've got your own view, which we'll come to in a second. And Charlie has got his. And now, you know, again, Charlie is something you've had a fair amount to do with. You filmed with Charlie and stuff like that, chatted at great length. So, again, he knows his stuff.
Yeah, and JP, do you know, I love Charlie to bits. I've said that before. Charlie's got such a great vision. And some of his, some of what he's doing is really going to shape the industry. But it's just, got to get that message out there, as he rightly is. I saw the other day, actually, he's got something like 1 million views now on his mm-hmm. TikTok channel. I was absolutely amazed with that. I'm really chuffed for him. So well done, Charlie. I'm great to see. I'm one of those, by the way, Charlie, just so you know that. I don't think anyone knows. We're in such a volatile market, you know, at the moment. And yes, you know, I've got my opinions of it. 2 weeks ago, the market was very different to where it is now. 2 weeks ago, I would put a property live and I'd have, well, put it this way, 3 months ago, I'd probably put a property live and I'd have the influx of immediate viewings. A couple of weeks ago, I started to put properties live and it's trickled. Now, last few days, properties go live and you just don't get the calls. Mm. So I think the buyers are getting nervous. There's that whole change. Will a stamp duty change benefit that? Who knows? People saying that it's going to increase inflation and it's only going to benefit the wealthy, or it's only really going to help in the southeast and London. You know, as somebody else has said, CEO of a national estate agent, someone else, you know, head of UK residential research at a national, well, international real estate business. Nobody can accuse the government of lacking an economic vision. Somebody else, a director of a finance brokerage, saying if base rate is headed to 4%, as many think, you're going to need a bigger rabbit and a bigger hat, Liz. Mm. Well, yeah, there is that. You know, we just don't know where it's going. But I did see an interesting graphic probably a week or two ago now on Sky News, which showed inflation change if this energy price cap, the new energy price cap comes in, that will turn inflation back. You know, that was the perceived change in inflation. Of course, what they're saying is the property market isn't going to slow up. It's still going to continue apace. But again, I don't really see that. You know, as somebody on the ground, and I can only talk about my specific area, you know, of the country, but I am really seeing, you know, I'm valuing, and, you know, as we all know, I'm now a registered valuer, so I can be quite confident in where my valuations are, but I'm valuing at this values of a year ago. You know, I would say the market has not really moved on in that 12 months, despite people believing and vendors hoping it has. But, you know, it really is now brakes on. But this is a comment I make today. And the market being as volatile as it is, the comment may change next week. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's an ever-evolving property market. Mm-hmm. There's nothing static about it like we've seen for a good few years. Well, I say static, but static with growth. You know, it really is somewhat changing. Yeah. And agents have to be aware of that. Vendors have to be aware of it. And also buyers will acutely become aware of it.
Well, you know, we are always very keen, aren't we, with the right move to get a, you know, a spectrum of relevant opinions and takes on things. And let's bring in the one from Charlie Lambdin.
My take on the forthcoming stamp duty cut is that I don't think it's going to make any difference at all, because in any case, first time buyers are exempt up to £300,000. The median house price in the UK outside London is £250,000. So the vast majority of transactions by first-time buyers are going to be unaffected. And first-time buyers, of course, are the lifeblood of the market and propping up the prices. And even up at the London levels of 400 and 500,000, you're only talking about a 1% or 2% benefit to the buyers, which the seller's going to put onto the price, or they're going to split it between them. So it halves the benefit to the actual buyer. I think it's good for the estate agency industry. It reduces costs for movers. But in terms of the actual, what should we call it, the boost to the property market, I just think all it's going to do is just soften the fall. But overall, when we're looking at potential downturn in prices, as I think there's going to be, of at least 20%, this 1% to 2% isn't going to make any difference.
Interesting. What do you make of that?
I agree with Charlie to a degree. Although what I'm seeing, you know, is where we are specifically, that actually first time I've actually sold a house to a first time buyer. Would you believe that? £700,000, you know, and that's going to be where differences are going to be seen. Probably in the London market, I guess, probably a bit more so. It's going to benefit movers with their costs and things, which is good, always a good thing. And what we saw with the stamp duty change, of course, during the pandemic, where things were changed, we ended up seeing stagnant market that would have been stagnant because of the pandemic actually start to move. So that was a good thing. What it did do is it did focus the mind, though, on dates, because you know you can't change this forever. You know, it's going to have to be a drop to boost it now, and that's what you saw. So sort of June 2021, when that stamp duty change, holiday, whatever you'd like to call it, came to an end, conveyancing was just super busy. Well, so were estate agents, of course, especially with sales progression. But yeah, we as an industry do need to start to sort of major on whatever comes, you know, from this announcement. But we need to major on it, actually really make something of it.
Yeah, I had a feeling you'd have, I guess, some caveats to that, Andrew. Thanks for that. And Moving Home with Charlie is one of the places Charlie Lambdin is on YouTube. That's his channel, Moving Home with Charlie.
Subscribe to us now on all major podcast apps.
We will give a huge vote of thanks to our two key guests, Christopher Watkin. Brilliant having Christopher on. Thanks for that. And also to Charlie Lambdin there on the stamp duty story. Simo, it's back to the box with you, or back in your box, I should say.
Back to the box. Yeah, no, I'm in the box. I've got my, just waiting in case any storms come in, obviously, here on the Devon coastline. My caravan feels like a Faraday cage, hoping not for central heating's on, and a nice tipple in hand. It's been epic, JP, as ever. Yeah. And sorry that I'm not in the studio, life goes on, as it were, and I was keen to get this episode out.
Exactly. That's commitment for that. That is dedication and loyalty. And, you know, at the end of the day, even the agent that never sleeps has got to sleep sometimes.
Well, indeed. You know, get a couple of days of R&R, and we'll be back at the desk and cooking on gas, not just the couple of bottles of the locker here. But, we'll be cooking on gas and heading towards, you know, a busy period leading up to Christmas.
Well, you better stay on top of your game, because I know a girl of 8-9 by the name of Harriet who might just be waiting in the business wings.
She will be.
All right, Simo, catch you next time.
10-4, JP.
You're with The Right Move.